Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? This is, believe it or not, it's Silent Cody, and this is Taino Radio. Radio Taino, what's up, everyone? Ita, Buk, Toka, how are you? I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in live and living color to the cyber world. And all you future listeners, yes, we love you too, because you are amazing, those downloads. I just want to say something right now. We got a new country that's been tuning in, and this country is Mexico, Mexicaland. Thank you, Mexico, for joining us, and that's amazing. So we got Mexico, we got Colombia, we got United States, Turtle Island, we got Canada, we got Bosnia, we got the Netherlands, we got Italy, Japan, Australia. Oh, man, I'm missing somebody. We got Belgium, Morocco, Nigeria, and now we have Mexico with us. This is amazing. The Americas is growing. We got Puerto Rico, Borinquen, Dominican Republic, Quisqueya, La Bella, and Jamaica. Jamaica, you're in fourth place. You're getting closer to Canada. This is amazing. This is a fun show, a fun program that we're going to have today. We're back to the paranormal. Paranormal, that's right. And wait a minute, hold on. Let's see if, oh, look who's here. Straight from the heavens, Stephanie Sky is with us once again. Stephanie, how are you?
Hey, son, I'm good.
Wow, thank you for blessing us, your presence. You come all the way from the sky. That's amazing, man. That's Stephanie Sky. Yeah, we gotta bring you back, man, because, you know, you were great in the shows prior. And how you feeling today?
I'm good, Sana Kori. It's cold over here, but, you know,
yeah,
we're getting through this New York winter the best way that we can, like true New Yorkers. How you doing, Sana Kori?
Well, listen, I'm very happy because tonight I spoke to Homeland Security, and, you know, we've been fighting terrorism since 1492, so tonight they gave us a break. I spoke to this special agent. Yeah, spoke to this special agent. He went to Area 51, and,
did they release Lou?
He pulled some strings, believe it or not. I can't believe it. Cause we're nice here in Taino Radio. We want peace, you know. We don't want no violence. So, believe it or not.
Who's that? What? I know I heard something.
Believe it.
If I come and kill you, I know you will.
From Area 51, we have Spooky Lou. Maybe not. He's probably back. They locked him up.
Help me.
Help me. You guys will be freaking out.
Help me.
That's pretty scary.
Wait, it's Lou.
I think that's scarier than Area 51, to be honest with you. I love it.
Well, it keeps saying, help me.
Missed you.
Mi gente, what's going on? I'm back. Yeah, I've been at my, I know. It's kind of hard, you know, living out here and getting things together and Area 51 and being chased, but it is what it is. But,
Well, I got a lot of emails from Italy. It seems like Italy has a lot of UFOs out there in Italy, believe it or not. I got a lot of emails from them.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye.
Well, we're happy to have you, Spooky Lou, all the way from Italy. Awesome, man. I had to do that. I did get some emails from Italy, so there we go.
There you go. When the moon hits the sky, it's a big UFO pie.
That's it.
Amore.
It depends how you like the probe, and maybe I'm on it. I don't know.
No, so this is it, man. This is your show. Take it away. I'm just gonna chill here. You got any questions for us? We'll be around. But this stirred a lot of emotion for a lot of people. This alien abduction.
I was gonna say that. You know, I know we joke around, and it is pretty much a joke, and people think that it's fake. But you know what? What about those people that really have claimed they have been abducted? I mean, I wonder how they feel, you know, emotionally. You know, for them, it's a real experience. For us, it's Hollywood, you know. It's really hard to take in when something that profound that can happen. But,
yeah,
you know, I'll be honest. I don't care what anyone tells me. This is my story, you know. I've had my own experience with UFOs and, you care to believe me or not, you know, I am my own biggest skeptic. I don't just believe anything, even though I do believe in the paranormal. But having that said, you know, I had my own profound experience with the UFO, and it wasn't like I just saw something that I did not understand. You know, besides that, you know, to take it to a whole nother level, there was some sort of communication there. I know it sounds crazy. If I explain it, you know, you would understand better. But the thing is, I personally, you know, I was abducted. I didn't see little green men, although I saw some weird stuff that was questionable. But what about, you know, I can say that I personally believe there's something out there that we do not understand, we never seen, especially in this vast, you know, small world of ours, and we have space. It's just so huge. We really don't know what we're dealing with or what may be out there, you know. So what are your perspectives on that? I mean, do you believe that this is a real thing? Is it a phenomenon? Is it, you know, maybe mass hysteria? What do you guys think?
I definitely don't think it's mass hysteria. I will say I am in some capacity skeptical only because I've never experienced it firsthand. I think that the media plays a huge role in the amount of fantasy given to the idea and the process, I guess, behind what could happen. And that's what makes it so hard for the people who do have experiences to really be taken seriously. Because, of course, you know, there are some people who sometimes will make up stories just for the attention, or other times that are, you know, mentally unstable and they create their own ideas because of whatever, you know, psychological issues it is that they have, or, you know, bipolar situations that may happen and cause, you know, real life scenarios in their head that they can't differentiate between fiction and truth. So I definitely take it in some capacities with a grain of salt because of that. But considering I'm one of those people who sees dead people, it's like, you know, how much can I really say in regards to skepticism? Because then when I speak, you know, people would feel the same way with what I say. Like, oh, well, you know, I've never seen Casper the Friendly Ghost, so you must not be telling the truth, you know? So
fair enough. That's a good assumption. And I appreciate that, you know, you recognize that, because it is hard for people to believe if it's not their experience. But go ahead.
Right.
It's true.
Exactly. So, you know, I to an extent, I have a little bit of, you know, reservation towards it. But am I completely closed off from the idea? Absolutely not. because like I did say, you know, I experience things that other people don't experience on a regular basis. So who's to say that people who have been or claim to have been abducted or even just had contact haven't had it? You know, they possibly 100% can. I mean, I've seen UFOs that I, you know, can't for any way, shape, or form make sense of what the heck I just saw. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a possibility. I'll give it that. There's definitely a possibility to it.
Okay, and then Lou, this is, you know, a major question for yourself because, I mean, you are in the field of psychotherapy, right? So that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As a psychotherapist, you know, there's a Harvard professor. Unfortunately, I didn't do enough research, but I forgot his name right now. I was trying to get it, and I couldn't. And he actually studied the phenomenon because there was a situation out in Africa where there was a school where they say that this alien, a UFO landed, and everyone in the school came out, and they saw these alien beings, you know. And after that, all these people that were abducted, he interviewed them, and he said that he believes that, you know, that this is a real phenomenon. Of course, people laugh at him in the field or they don't think it's serious or something to be looked at. But, I mean, what's your take as a person that's in the same field?
Well, I tell you, I've heard a lot of stories through the years from people who believe in, you know, the star people, you know, people from out of, you know, different worlds. And... you know, as a psychotherapist, I can't judge, you know, what I hear, and I try to help solve problems, you know, or trying to help them solve problems and cope with these traumas sometimes or these problems. But most of the people that I've spoken to about this are actually Native American, and see, and also, believe it or not, my own daughter, she's not shy to say it, but throughout her whole life, she's always seen sightings. You know, and I was always worried about that. Like, damn, I hope they don't take her one day. Because she always used to come out with these cool, you know, experiences. And it's like, oh, man, I just hope they don't take her one day. You know, and then you hear about the star children, you know, or also the indigo children. So, you know, you start to worry, you know.
Well, do me a favor. We'll elaborate on what you mean by the star children and the indigo children. I mean, a lot of people that don't know what that is. I'm not too familiar. I am somewhat. But
really?
Share a little bit of what you mean.
Well, there are these children. I think this is the generation of the star children, right? Correct me
crystal,
if I'm wrong,
the
Stephanie.
Crystal kids, I think. The crystal children is the generation that my son is in. I believe my generation and the 70s. Or the 60s to the 80s is the indigo children. I believe we're the indigos. And from 1990s to present, I believe those are the crystal children.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And what does that mean?
Do you want to go, Stephanie?
So indigos are... some people consider them to be like hyper sensitive to spiritual aspects and different spiritual things. So you'll find a lot of the quintessential like hippie types, the people who read tarot cards, the people who work as mediums, the people who read auras and see auras, the people who can communicate with the afterlife and can travel from realm to realm. The people who are hypersensitive to the chakra points in the world, because, you know, the earth has its own set of chakra points. They're hypersensitive to energetical fields in general, very, very sensitive to just energy shifts, very, very connected to the earth and natural elements. Some indigos consider themselves like modern witches, modern day witches. They practice paganism, some of them. They practice, you know, witchcraft to what it is now, Wicca. And they're just very spiritually in tuned is what they're claiming the indigos are, those people who quote unquote see with their third eye, that kind of stuff. So ever since I was a kid, actually, my mom told me that I was an indigo child. It was because of that, that hypersensitivity, that connection to spirituality and the other aspects of elements. Whereas, you know, my grandfather would just be like, hey, we're just, you know, indios. But mm-hmm. other people explain it as being indigos, which is, like I said, I believe the 60s to the late 80s. And then the crystal children are the 90s children up to right now time.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the breakdown. Definitely. And also the DNA, that comes out that's always saying that, you know, especially native people, I find, Caribbean folk especially, that there's an unknown DNA that they can't figure what it is. I mean, right now these companies know every culture out there, and they've been decoding the genetics, and they can't figure out certain genetic codes, right? They can't figure it out. So it's like unknown. Do you have that, Stephanie, in Ancestry.com, where it's like an unknown percentage? They don't know what it is?
I don't have an unknown percentage. I believe early on I did, but at this point they don't. I think when they can't figure something out, they mm-hmm. try and associate it to the thing that can be the closest, which is why there are so many different differentiations and variations when they mm-hmm. do their updates, because then it's just like, oh, okay, well, now we have a large enough gene pool to be able to identify this unknown factor. But I did read an article not that long ago that did cite that there are some people who show up with DNA composites, like pieces of their DNA that are not known to any country of origin. So it's just a piece of something that people have, and they're considering it to be quote unquote extraterrestrial, which is now making a lot of the ancient alien scientists and pseudoscience people mm-hmm. Start having these conversations and these blogs and these think pieces about, well, could it be, you know, the people who originally inhabited, like, Atlantis, the Lemurians, because they believe that Lemurians were actually from Atlantis, or they believe that the Lemurians, when the Greys came to the Lemurians, they decimated the city of Atlantis, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they're just like, you know, well, is this, you know, proof, or is this proof that the aliens were here when they came to help build the pyramids, or when they helped the natives with, you know, all of our technological advancements and stuff like that. So they're trying to pinpoint this unknown factor of DNA instead of, you know, oh, well, science, 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 science. Now they're saying, well, we have no science that's backing this up, so is it aliens? So I have mm-hmm. read a few different things on that position of ideas. So, I mean, who's to say? Maybe people were abducted and they ended up coming back with some alien DNA, or maybe, you know, rather than being abducted, we have a few that are walking around with us and they're hybrids, and this is what's, you know, currently going on, and this is that piece of the genetic link that's just missing that they've finally refound.
There you go.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's pretty deep. I mean, I've never heard of that. I've always thought about that. I've always heard that there's a class of blood, right, that's so rare that people also state the same thing, that it's not human, you know, or these people are mixed with something else that's not, like, normal. However, mm-hmm. right, so we really don't know what's out there, what's going on. But, you know, as far as being abducted, I know that the first documented case here was back in September 19, 1961, the Barney and Betty case. Have you guys ever heard of that case?
Is that the one in New Hampshire?
Exactly.
Yes,
you know,
I know that. Stage.
That story's been going on. Yeah, I mean, do you want to share the story for our listeners, or even for Stephanie? You know what happened?
Well, I know the man was a social worker, I believe, and I think she was a teacher. So these people were professional folks.
Actually, I got it confused. He was a postal worker. Well, I'll
that's
story,
right.
Okay, go for it.
I'm not too familiar. Okay.
So one of the first documented cases here in the U.S., right, is Betty and Barney. And they were, they took a little vacation and they decided to drive out to Niagara Falls. So they drove out there. He was a postal worker. She was a, like you said, she was a teacher. They went out there. They drove back on middle of the night. They decided to drive back. And as they're driving, they saw something that was in the sky. It didn't make sense to them. It was about 100 feet away or something like that. So it wasn't too far. So he stops the car because he felt like it was following them. And he pulls out binoculars and he tries to observe what he's looking at. So what he sees is these figures that are beings, but they didn't look like human to him. And as soon as he saw that, he freaked out, or he lost it, he got scared. And he got in the car, and he took off, and they tried to drive down, and they looked around, and there was nothing around them, so they felt like they were safe. A little while later, they claimed they saw this red-like beam, and the car started shaking, and they pretty much woke up 30 miles away from where they originally were, and they lost 2 hours of their time. And they have no idea pretty much what happened during that time. So the interesting factor with this case is the Air Force have proof that they did observe something in their radar, and they admitted this back then, you know, back in the 60s.
Wow.
When they got home, they were confused. I guess they were rattled. They weren't sure what happened. And the reason why they figured something happened to them is because his shoes were messed up. I think there was some red stuff on her dress. And they realized that they were off. There was just something with their clothing that was off. And then little by little, things started happening that they started remembering what occurred. And then that pretty much was the first documented case. But ever since then, there's been like a trove, you know, of documentation of alien abductions happening here and around the world. You know, what could have changed? What's happening that this is occurring? You know, if it's really occurring, because I don't know. What happened?
What year did you say this was? You said 1950s?
1961.
1960s, okay.
Yeah, 1961. You know, and just to say a little interesting story, right? I have been to Area 51, not inside Area 51, but I've taken a drive out there.
S4.
You know, and yeah, I decided one day to just say, you know what, I'm going to drive out to Area 51, check this out. And I'm driving, and it's a far drive. And let me tell you, there's absolutely nothing, middle of nowhere. You need gas, you need water, you need food. And as I was driving, on the way there, there's this like store in the middle of nowhere, and it has like a giant tin man that looks like a giant alien just standing outside. So I decided to go in, and I'm checking this place out, and it was the weirdest thing because this guy walks in, right? He's like oddly tall. He's tall. He's lanky. Just like this weird energy about this guy. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, man, this guy is just something off. Something's weird, and he looks familiar. As I start speaking to someone, this guy goes, you know who that is? I'm like, no. He's like, that's Travis Walton. There's only like three people in the store. And he's like, that's Travis Walton. I'm like, Travis Walton? He's like, yeah, Fire in the Sky. I'm like, that's him? That's him. And I don't know, do you guys know who that guy is?
No.
No.
So Travis Walton is one of the most famous documented cases of alien abduction. There's a movie called Fire in the Sky about him. If you guys don't know who he is, Yeah,
I've heard of the title.
Fire in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
During that same time, I believe it was the 70s. There was a group of guys, and they were woodcutters, right, tree cutters, and
they were
working late one night. Yeah, and they're driving home, and there's a light in the middle of the forest. Kind of similar to the experience that I had. Go ahead, you remember?
Yeah, I remember that now. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm interested.
So just so you know, creepy stuff, that what happened was they went back. They were trying to investigate to see what that light was. And, you know, Travis was like the tough guy out of the group, so he had no fear. He went out there to see what it was, and it was a craft. And supposedly he was shocked by this light. And they took off, his friends, I think his brother was there. They all took off and left him. And he was gone for 7 days. These guys were charged with murder, or they were going to be charged with murder. There was like a huge investigation. I think the FBI got involved. It was like a big thing in the U.S. news back then. And eventually he shows up 7 days later, and he has an amazing story. You have to watch the book. So, I mean, what are the chances that I go to Area 51, I walk into the store, and I meet the most one of the most famous stories of alien abductions? You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
it
damn.
Was just,
this sounds
out,
like
man.
A spooky new situation.
Yeah.
The weird thing was, this gets even weirder. So I go up to him, and I talk to him. He talked to me. I mean, we even took pictures. He was a cool guy. But he was odd. I left. I go down to Area 51. I go to the Alien Inn, or Alien, what it's called. And you know, it's the only place you can get food or drinks. You know, you can even stay there for the night, which I did.
Oh,
and
nice.
As I was eating, he pops up there too. And I'm like, this is weird. I was like, this is awkward. He shows up with a bunch of people, and they're eating. I'm in the next table eating. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him, and I'm like, this is weird, man. I don't know. This is just too awkward for me. But that was my little adventure for Area 51 and abductions. But, yeah, no, what do you think about that, creepy stuff?
Well, y'all know me. At this point, everybody knows me, right? So I think everything always happens for a reason. And, well, we don't call you Spooky Lou for nothing, right? So,
I was like, what are the chances I see this guy twice in one day? We're at the
what
same place.
What are the
place?
Chances?
Well,
it's you,
yeah.
Lou, 100%. 100%. 100%. What do you mean?
I guess so. I should know better. I should know better.
Like,
but,
at this point,
you know,
it's irrefutable. If it's you, it's obviously, duh.
But here's my question: when you were at the alien inn, did you how was the room like? Did they have any like special things in the room that look alien or whatever?
Bro, let me tell you, this place was so posh. It was like staying at the Marriott. Like, they
what?
Had a hot tub in the back. No, man. You know what it was? Like, trailers. Like, bunch of trailers put together, and you can rent a trailer. And you're all sleeping in the same trailer. But it was, like, run down. It was. But don't get me wrong. Let me tell you. I will say this. It was a cute little place to get. If you want a drink, you have a drink. If you want to just have some food, you know what I mean? It's there. If you want to stay the night, it's a place to have an experience. Because what I did was, I wasn't alone. There was like another couple there, and we had a bonfire, and we drank, and we just talked about stories all night, and it was really fun. Even the people that work there, they'll tell you stories. Like, every night you'll see something, which of course I think they, you know, it just kind of like a gimmick to the place. They'll tell you that, but I didn't see anything, you know, when I went over there. I didn't hear anything. They also claim that there's all these high-tech equipment, that they can hear everything that's going on all around. And who knows? Maybe it's true. But if you ever get a chance, I mean, I would recommend just Just to have that experience to say that you've been by Area 51, it's cool. But there's nothing there, man. There's just absolutely nothing there. It's not even
Wow. Damn. But you know what? Like, can I say something? Basically, I was doing some research, right, and for this show, and there were some U.S. presidents that were allegedly abducted that they couldn't explain.
What?
Yeah, the first one was President Eisenhower. He was the first one that actually went missing for 12 hours. And they said that he flew to California to get a tooth extraction. That was the official report. But there's nothing, there's no dentist. They researched this. There's nothing to prove that he was at a dentist in California. So they said that he was abducted. And Eisenhower was the one that he kind of made everything a secret, like top secret, you know, after that. And then Ronald Reagan, when he was
the
governor.
It was the KGB, I'm telling you.
Really? It was the KGB, you think, that abducted him?
It's a joke.
Oh, no.
Of course not.
No, because he was into it. No, because he was into the alien, you know, he was into aliens. That he, I believe he saw a few sightings in his life, Eisenhower. So, but then there was also when Ronald Reagan was the governor of California, he was with Nancy Reagan. They were going to a party. And, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So they were going to a party, and they... According to his journal, because he kept a journal, actually, they saw a UFO hovering over them, and they stopped, and they were missing for 14 hours, and they were worried about what was going on, and they finally showed up to the party 14 hours later of the house, so, like, distraught, you know, like something happened, you know, but they wouldn't talk about it. So there's rumors of them being abducted. You know, Ronald Reagan, and I know what's his name? Bill Clinton tried his best to find out about alien abductions and UFOs and stuff, but he couldn't. He couldn't find any stuff. So, but that's another topic. You know, the deep state, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because supposedly Trump, when he signed that, he put in that stimulus bill. Part of it was, did you hear about, there was a story going around stating that part of the stimulus bill is to release any information on UFOs that the government has.
Well, supposedly he did. Supposedly. There was documents floating around, I think on Facebook, actually. If I find them, I'll send them to you guys. But supposedly they did. They released almost all of the classified documents that they had regarding both the endeavors that they had to the moon and outer space and whatever information it is that they had on UFOs and aliens. Allegedly, they released all of it. Like, originally it started off as a small leak, and then it was just like everything was wham, bam, everywhere.
Well, this is what I asked, Creepy Steph. If you get an opportunity, if you can post it on my page on Spooky Loo on Facebook,
absolutely.
I'd appreciate
I'll
it.
I can find Which them.
Would be paranormal. Okay, thank you.
Well, I just researched. There's a book on Amazon. It's called UFO Secret, President Eisenhower, ET Connect. And it talks about how Eisenhower secretly met with aliens in 1954. It's a research project, and it organizes all the recounts of all the urban legends surrounding that. If true, further allegations suggest that a treaty was signed with the aliens that would affect our national politics to this day. Wow. And then it says that it talks about UFO secrets of World War II and President Eisenhower. So he was deep into this Eisenhower. Huh?
If there was a treaty involved, you know the U.S. didn't honor it.
Exactly. And there's a lot of other great books, like, you know, the Project Blue Book, Exposed, and all this stuff.
Correct, correct. Well, they say he's the one that started that whole, what was it, the Majestic, I don't have my notes, Majestic, I forgot the name of the number, but he's the one that supposedly started all the things where supposedly now people talk about, what is it, the Men in Black? That's where it came from.
Yeah, the Men in Black. It started right after that, right? So somehow he was scared of something. He was scared of something, or he was like worried or something, you know, to keep something a secret, you know? Or maybe that was the agreement. I don't know.
I've heard stories of different what the treaty was. For example, I've heard stories where the treaty that we signed supposedly the aliens would give us some sort of technology. Trade-off is that they get to abduct people they would be left alone. That and also the cow mutilation, that was part of the treaty. I've heard of this before, but it's scary stuff. So did the government sell out? So we can have some of our people and experiment on them for technology. You think it's possible?
Well, how about this guy? He's already proved it. And it's, you know, they haven't found out that he's lied or anything. Bob Lazar, right? That from Roswell crash. Not Roswell. He was able to go to Area 51, S4 section. Private contractor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's able to draw. I mean, he went under hypnosis. He did everything. And he draws these amazing drawings and he gets into the technology, talking about reverse engineering, you know. So,
right.
You know, and I saw the recent documentary in 2018, but it caught my eye because it was one. He said he was walking down the corridor, and in a corner of his eye, he saw the saucer. The spaceship, whatever, they were in the ship, and there was some small chairs, and the corner of his eye, he saw a figure with long arms, a little small person with long arms, and Bob Lazar said he could not prove that was an alien, you know, but it could have been a mannequin, it could have been a doll, but it was definitely small seats there, and most likely, I mean, he was saying maybe the scientists put that there. To mock, I guess, that's where the alien sat and stuff. But I love his story because they can't prove this guy lied, you know. And you know, and he got in trouble lots of times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All his school information has been erased. So you know, now he lives in Michigan making fireworks, and jet engines on bicycles. It's amazing, man. The guy's definitely a scientist. He knows his stuff, you know. Reverse engineering, that was his thing. But
correct.
But that whole alien abduction. Hey, do you guys know about? Hold on a second. Let me get my notes here. I actually found something out, and now I lost it. I'm sorry. Oh my God, where are we? I just want to remind folks right now who are listening, if you want to call in and if you've been abducted, hey, we want to hear you. The number is 515-602-9792. You can call in and you won't be judged. You'll be supported. But if you have any experiences or someone you know that's been abducted, and let's see what happens. You know, now we use the word aliens. You know, is that like politically incorrect to call aliens or say star people? I was thinking about that today. You know, I guess to a native perspective.
Star people would be star people. I mean, and that's exactly why the natives have the idea of star people. And I feel that star people would be something completely different from what our quintessential idea of what alien is. I feel like there's a multitude of races out there, you know, the same way that we have a multitude of them down here. I feel like there would be definitely different elements to each one that would constitute some kind of differences.
Yeah. Well, you know, I shared this before. I know someone who's a well-known person. I can't reveal his name, but he was definitely confronted by a reptilian, you know. And this person, I know this person, very respected, professional person. For a few moments, he was confronted by a reptilian. He wasn't taken away from Earth, but he was definitely confronted on some issues that this reptilian did not like. Now, this is the first time I'm going to reveal this. When I was in Puerto Rico, I did actually meet a reptilian. Did not deny their identity. I exposed it to see what the reaction, and, you know, and Spooky Lou, I gave you the evidence, remember? I gave you the evidence. I don't want to go much into detail about that, but it's something that to this day, it haunts me today. So there is something to this, you know, there is something to this. So what do you think?
And that's the thing. I find that fascinating because there's been several stories of people that have had encounters with these, you know, quote-unquote reptilians, you know. Like I said, I can't judge because I've had my own UFO experience. I've never met anyone that claimed to be a reptilian, or I can say that I saw something that made me think, you know, or anything like that. But, I mean, why would people lie over that, you know? Like the person that you stated before, respected person, you know, I'm sure they've achieved a lot. And I'm sure, you know, you say there's a reason why you're saying they're respected. So why would someone at that level lie or make things up? I mean, I'm sure he's not even sharing that story publicly with anyone. Am I right?
No. I totally believe this person, you know. And,
why would he, what reason would that person come to tell you or have to say? Tell you any makes this up, you know? Are there any stories? Matter of fact, since you're bringing up, you know, the Native American stories, have you ever come across any Native American stories of any abductions or anything like that?
Oh yes, definitely. Yes, that's actually I really can't get into it, all the details, but this person was going to expose certain facts, you know? So that's all I can say. Oh, this is deep stuff. They're watching, you know? This is what I learned. They're watching, and if they feel threatened, like you have information. And I think this is one of the reasons why I think the United States won't disclose yet, because this could piss off a lot of people that, aka aliens, you know. So maybe that's the key.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, right? If that's the case, then why have other countries released all their UFO information, like Canada or Mexico, other Latin American countries, even England?
I think the U.S. in general just is very selective in the idea of, you know, they're still the superpower. So the more secrets that they get to have, the more things that they get to hold on to, the more important they feel still. So all of these people who are giving information, or all of these countries that are giving information, it's just like, oh, well, yeah, their information doesn't match ours, or their information is nothing like ours because we're us. Literally the U.S. So I feel like it's just that idea of superiority, or maybe the secretism that's behind it. Like, oh, well, our story sounds so similar, so why are we going to put it out there? Then nobody's going to think that we're as important as everybody else. I think there's still that level of holding information for power that the United States of America feels is still necessary, instead of having a level of transparency to try and provide the understanding. That's just how I feel about a lot of things when it comes down to the U.S. in general. So, I mean, you know, if Canada and Mexico are saying something and it's similar and we're dead smack in the center and it's just like, oh, yeah, well, we got something too, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. Ha ha. You know, I mean, what's the likelihood that it's really that different, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know. I think that's a big thing as to why the U.S. is going to be so secretive, because the second that they can try to capitalize off of the information or find a way to capitalize off of the situation itself, mm-hmm. that's when they'll go ahead and break the information, because they have the means to attain capital from it. And that's what they've always tried to be, this superpower, this super giant ruling through, you know, a strong arm of some kind, and usually it always ends up being money that they don't have.
You know,
Matt,
go ahead.
No, if the U.S. ever discloses this will change history. This will change a whole mindset. This will, you know, once the U.S. comes forward, that's it, man. That's it. Go ahead.
You know, let me tell you how serious this is. I know you guys are going to think this is a joke, but it's true. Did you know that you can buy alien abduction insurance?
What?
Oh, I my did. God. I did know about it. I did. Because I had a friend that had me join Primerica, and I went to, like, one of the first meetings, and they were talking about terrorism insurance, and they were talking about, you know, all these different kinds of insurances, and then they brought up that, and it was just like everybody stopped. And they turned and they looked at this person and said, what? And they were just like, no, seriously, like, I heard about it. My cousin said. And, you know, every time anybody says, oh, my cousin said or my friend said, it's always just like, oh, we're going to just ignore it. But they were serious. And it was just like, what? Like, we all literally just stopped and pulled out our phones and was just Googling, like, is this real right now? And they're just like, no, Primerica doesn't offer that. But yes, it's real. It's a real thing.
Well,
it is real. Go ahead.
I just remind the callers out there, we're going to open the lines really soon, 515-602-9792. If you've been abducted or know someone who's been abducted or close to abduction, please let us know. I'll be opening the lines really soon. Hey, you guys ever heard, you know, I researched this from the Ohio State University, the College of Arts and Sciences, and there's a term called alien nanotechnology, and it's the belief that there's pieces of evidence that's embedded into abducted humans by extraterrestrials or alien. Have you guys heard about Dr. Roger Layers?
Yeah, I think he passed away recently.
He was a leading
doctor who he claims that he would find pieces of what he believes were tracking devices left in humans.
Yes. I know there was a documentary called Patient 17. It talks about that he found zinc-64, zinc-66 in one patient, that patient 17. And these elements can't be found on Earth, you know? So... You know, they said he was very stingy with his research. He wouldn't let people examine so much his research, so that kind of pissed off the scientific community. But I don't know, man. Maybe he's onto something. Yeah, what are you going to say?
I mean, possibly. You know, there's a story that I'm really debating if I should share or not, because, you know, I got exposed. Or leaked information, I should say, you know, was some powerful information that really blew my mind. And,
wow.
And I'm going to ask this person permission if I can just, you know, talk about it, because he said he doesn't care anymore, so that's why he's talking about it now, because it's because of his age. And maybe I'm going to ask him if maybe we can interview him and have him tell the story. But,
wait,
but
is he around?
Definitely. He's around, yeah. He's around. I can get in contact with him. And,
oh, wow.
You know, this guy is a credible person. You know, his credibility. It's kind of like a Bob Lazar guy, you know. And,
oh wow.
He shared an amazing story. I mean, he brought it to my attention. He was like, you know, Bob Lazar knows what he's talking about. Like, this guy's legit. You know, he's like, he really knows what he's saying is true. And he told me his personal experience, and I was really blown away, you know, by there's more people out there who are credible, who held positions, you know, that it's like the Air Force, right? Those guys flying those $30 million planes. I mean, you have to just have anyone fly a $30 million plane, you know. They're in charge of our protection, you know. They're going to have someone that's sane and rational to take control of things like that. This guy's up there, and he explained something to me that really blew my mind. And I want to share this story. I'm not going to share it in this show, but I think I'm going to have another show, and I'm going to share it, and I'll share my UFO experience as well, which happened to me in Canada. The interesting thing to me is when I talked about when I used to have my own show before, when I shared that story, I was actually contacted one time. It was weird. And this guy contacted me. Out of the blue, never, you know, you get your fans and stuff, but I've never came across this guy before. And he was telling me, oh, Smile, you're like on the government database. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he told me, you know, that he worked for, I think back then they were called Wackenhut. They were like, they do like secret military security. And he told me supposedly what it was that I saw, but I found it interesting. You know, like, why would this guy contact me, tell me this stuff, and then just, I never heard from him again. It was just like, it was just really spooky, a spooky situation as usual. But I wanted to share that. And I'll share this story in a different show on next time. Hello? Well,
I don't know what just happened. Did Spooky Lou just get abducted? I'm sorry, did Sonic Woody just get abducted?
Okay, so you heard me. I was about to say the army.
Oh, no, I heard you.
Maybe, okay, perfect. Maybe
all I
did
heard
abducted,
that little jingle real quick and then just silence.
I don't know. With him, I think it's one of the spirits. I can't tell.
I mean, I don't know. Y'all are talking out loud right now, so they can hear you, not just the spirit.
True, very true, very true. Well, we were having an interesting conversation earlier. You were saying that out in Puerto Rico, you heard stories of a junke of people getting abducted.
Yes.
I've even saw a story of a guy in the 80s that got abducted out there in those woods. And you're right, people go missing out there all the time. For people that don't know, Ajunka is the biggest rainforest in the U.S., and it's a jungle, for lack of better words,
mm-hmm.
right?
It is. It is a jungle. They have very specific trails that you can go on, and then the rest of it, you know, if you go off the trail, good luck, basically.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck, basically,
right.
Because there's poor cell reception, if any reception, in certain areas. We're talking about mountainous terrain. We're talking about waterfalls. We're talking about mudslides. We're talking about anything and everything that you would find in the rainforest. That's exactly what it is. It's a rainforest in Puerto Rico. It's considered to be almost, you know, sacred land to us. You know, it was allegedly what the home of Yucahu, right? I believe is what it was.
What's that? The Yunque? The Yunque?
El Yunque.
Yeah, that's the sacred land. Yeah, the White Mountain, the
mm-hmm.
Yunque.
Well, while you're joining us, me and Stephanie were just discussing earlier about how people go, people disappear all the time and they say they get abducted,
yeah.
Right? Have you heard those
yeah.
stories?
All the time. But guess what, guys? We I have two people on the line I want to share their experiences.
Absolutely.
So the first one is she's not new to our programs. Her name is La Loca Suarez. Can you hear us? You can unmute yourself.
Oh, you can stop clapping now. Okay, okay, I'm here. Stop clapping. Sit down. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can
okay.
hear you. Yeah.
Okay, good. Oh my God, I was screaming in the comments like, Jimmy Carter, he's the one who saw the things and he wanted to blow up everything and they said, no, you can't do it and all this other stuff and then Reagan and, okay. So, there's
That's
a
right,
place
Jimmy Carter.
In, yes, and I'm sitting there, just look at all the comments. I'm like, Betty and Bunny, Hill, and yeah, they were going like, they were near New York State, New York, whatever, and they were hypnotized, and that's how they remembered. But yeah, okay.
Hypnotized.
If you go anywhere, yes.
Who was hypnotized?
Both of them.
Betty and Bunny.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
That's how they
all
remembered.
Right.
That's how they were able to recall. And her dress is in the museum, and it is all ripped up.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you were talking about how people had things, whatever, they got chipped. There's chips underneath the skin. So, okay, there's so much I could say, but there's someone else on the phone. So I'm going to try to keep it short. Pine Bush, New
yeah.
York is a known site for, a known place for sightings. People have been abducted up by the reservoir. I was there, you know, because I'm chasing aliens, of course. And, we go in the back, like some road, whatever, and go to like grass. And right in front of me, like, was a helicopter, but it's 4 feet off the ground, black windows. I'm like, oh my God, let's get the hell out of here, you know? Because it's just like, this is not good, because it's right near the reservoir, right?
Well,
and there's signs all over the town. It's Pine Bush, New York. It's 17S. It's like northwest of Newburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, hot
okay,
spot.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Dutchess County. Okay. They call that the Triangle. The Dutchess County and by Newburgh, northwest of Newburgh. I've seen stuff by my house. I saw an orb that was clear when it was not lit, and then it was like a greenish, misty type of light when it was lit, and it was like a size like a football or something like that. And then the power lines across the street, it was like liquid mercury in a ball going across the power lines. Okay? And I'm not the only one who saw things. We saw like a cigar shape in the sky over the house. And then like when I was with my husband, he would be speaking in another language and then we try to figure out what it was. And it wound up to be Sumerian and he said he was visited at the time. So it was right there when I was with him.
What do you
like
mean that he was visiting?
He said somebody went into like either a dream or something, but there was nobody there. Like I couldn't see anybody.
Oh, at that moment.
But
he saw someone visit him.
No, he was speaking in another language. He's speaking in different,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Different tongues. Yeah. And Lumeria is where Krishna comes from, and supposedly Thoth is also like Atlantis. It is called Lumeria. It's another supposedly lost continent or whatever, just like Atlantis. There's so much that you guys were talking about. Like,
I have a question.
But yeah.
I have a question about your husband.
Yes.
I really appreciate you sharing that story. And, thank you for that. Now, has your husband ever said you ever had an experience like that before?
Oh yeah, it's happened all his life. Yeah.
Oh wow.
And I've seen
That's
stuff. And you gotta watch Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind by Dr. Greer. He has an app that you can join, and he has things that he has like little camp things, whatever. And you go sit in a circle and you meditate, and then you can call them to come to you. This is what he says. I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I want to join that, but I've seen enough. I don't need to be like, yo, how you doing, Mr. Gray? Like, I'm good. But close enough.
I have another question, man, because this is pretty interesting. with your husband. Does he remember meeting these beings? And if he does he say that they're good, they're bad, or does he remember anything?
No, yes, he does, because I ask him. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he was like, yeah, I was talking to this person, blah, 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 but it wasn't necessarily a person. Oh, he's totally into it. So we were the ones that went up to Pine Bush, because he found out about this. And we've been doing this before, like, Ancient Aliens came out. Like, when Ancient Aliens came out, I was like, what? They're allowing this stuff on TV now? Like, we've been following and doing, I've been seeing things even in New York City when I was a kid, you know. And at UK, I was up there. They said, "Don't go past the pass. Do not go past like wherever the waterfalls is. Don't go up the mountain because that's where it is. And there's supposedly ships that go from the top of UK into the ocean. That they're sea aliens. That they live underneath the water, but they go onto the top of the mountain. Yeah.
All right.
So
you know what." You know what? I do want to mention that in my time in Nahuake, there is a community that has direct connection with the Star People. I can't mention the town's name, but one of the elders had a connection, I guess telepathic connection with the Star People that came from under the water. It was an underwater base. Unfortunately, he died. I didn't get a chance to meet him, but definitely the Yunque. I don't want to get into the Yunque, but there's definitely a lot of activity in the Yunque as well that I've heard from people during my time in Nahuake.
And I'm also AKA Indigo. So
there you go.
You know, I think also most people, you know, I don't want to say, but, you know, God-fearing people, they're not ready for that because they're so brainwashed. And, you know, just like the movie Contact is like, well, you know what? It'd be a big waste of space to have all these planets and not to have any other life. Not just planets, but solar systems and galaxies and what have you. We're the only one with intelligent beings or life. Come on.
You know.
Just saying.
Well, listen. Yep. You're right. You're absolutely correct. I have another guest here. He's an old friend of mine, old relative, and he's actually he and I were the ones that came up with I'm trying to think Arayeke. We go way back. Guyaya aku ama bohik siva. You can unmute yourself and introduce yourself. Where are you?
Tao, Tauti, hello everyone. Tao. My name is Kuyayaku. You could just say Kuya, which is fine.
Oh yeah, I messed it up.
Thank you. That's okay. No, you said it correctly.
Oh, cool.
It's a lot to say. you know, it's good to hear everybody and hear that, you know, we have abduction insurance. You guys are awesome. Thank you, Spooky Lou.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So my family is originally from the Dominican Republic, Quisqueya, on the High Mountains in Cibao.
Nice.
And my stepfather is from Puerto Rico, from which I got to go there and also interact with star beings. But when I began my path in really, you know, researching a lot of our ancestors and our roots and our culture, I worked a lot with, and this is in my youth, I worked with the Sovereign Diné Nation. Diné are the traditional people. It's also the original name of the Navajos and how they call themselves. And so the Sovereign Diné Nation was an organization out in Black Mesa, Arizona, protecting traditional elders there from getting their land taken away by this coal mining company. And I went there as a volunteer to help wherever I could and also to learn from them. And so I... became a sheep herder while I was there for this one family. And I had my own little shelter. It was like apart from their home. And first of all, like everybody there, like I immediately connected and identified with the family. And it was really remarkable how the grandmother who I was caring for her sheep and connected with a lot and interacted with, and she took care of me while I was there, looked like my great-grandmother. And some of their relatives and her grandchildren and sons and daughters also have very similar things to our culture, the Taino. And so after I think about my first 3 months there, we exchanged so much and got to know each other, her and myself and her family. I didn't become like a, you know, part of the family. I was just, you know, a worker, a volunteer. And they would have like their ceremonies, their peyote ceremonies, every now and then. And this one night, they were having it for, sometimes they get like hosted ceremonies for other people that they knew. And their hogan, which is their ceremonial bohio or their hut, was actually like several doors down from where I was at. So like less than a block, a city, New York City block. And while they were having their ceremony, I was sleeping. And they had two experiences kind of similar. So this one was definitely like, well, both of them were telepathic. And since I was young, I always had like, I've known now that I've had abductions where like, they're not really taking your body, but they're, you know, they either like telepathically communicate with you, or they can actually like, what's that called? When it's like having an out-of-body experience. So your soul really gets lifted from your body. And so you're having this out-of-body experience. And this one night while they were having a ceremony, and mind you, by this point, in my stay there, I did not participate in any of the ceremonies. I was dreaming, and usually I have lucid dreaming, and I could tell a difference between spiritual dreaming at this point and lucid dreams, and also out-of-body experiences. And I went from dreaming to like not dreaming, and I was in a state like a complete darkness, and all of a sudden, I'm in a craft, or let's say some type of machine with no lights. It felt like a hallway, and I was being walked into this hallway, and I could feel like the metal surrounding this ship. And I was put into a, what I will, you know, the term from seeing all my sci-fi shows, like a docking bay or like a port. So it was an opening to the ship. And I couldn't see who it was that was there, but I could hear them telepathically say, "Welcome," and "Don't be afraid," and "Enjoy this."
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I'm in the ship, and I'm not feeling my body. I'm just like witnessing everything visually. And when I'm in this port, I thought it was a window, but it wasn't. I could see the stars, and then I felt like they casted me and out into the space. And so I wasn't in their ship anymore.
Jeez.
And I, yeah. So, and then all of a sudden I'm like in this fetal position. I felt like myself just hugging my knees, and my knees were up into my chest. And I'm looking at the stars, and I'm just like floating. And at this point, I don't feel like I'm in my body. I'm just like floating, and the sensation of like, you know, being in space with no gravity. And at one point, I guess I was turned, or I just like, just from floating, I turned and the earth was below me. And all I saw was this beautiful giant planet, and like the energy of being in that expanse was amazing. It was like freeing, and just witnessing the earth and feeling the light coming off from the earth was the most beautiful thing, close to like having a heavenly dream. And they, what felt like, you know, I was there like for maybe 20 minutes, then quickly like, you know, stopped, and they pulled me back. And I don't remember exactly what they said to me, but they said something sort of like, you know, we hope you had a good time, basically, and we'll never forget this. And right there, boom, I woke up, and I'm in my bed. I can't hear any drumming. It seems like maybe the ceremony was over. It's winter time, so the fireplace that was in my shed was almost gone, and all I can remember is like, you know, one, I was very thankful, and I couldn't believe that what had just happened, and it was real because I wasn't in the fetal position when I got out of the bed, when I woke up, and it was. It almost leaves you like you want to cry. Like I just, not emotionless, but like deeply, like, and not like, I don't know, like, you know, I just had a spiritual experience. It was just, I just felt like I was connected to this vastness. And I feel from just, and this was like 20 plus years ago. So from what I've learned from then and till now about our connection to the star beings is that, you know, this is, and what I know now is like, you know, this vastness is how we're all interconnected.
Okay.
Wow, that is powerful.
I know. I wish you started earlier with this, with this story. Thank you so much for sharing, both of you. With, you know, that's a very powerful experience that you have, and it's interesting that you shared this because it poses the question, right? I've heard other stories similar to yours as well, but this is where, to me, things get a little fuzzy, right? Do you believe those were aliens, or do you believe that was more of a spiritual alien kind? Does that make sense? Are there different
That's
kind
what
of
I was
going to
ask as well.
Right? Are there
physical
abductions? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your question.
So because I hear different kinds of stories. I've heard stories of people get physically abducted. Then you have stories like yours, which is profound, and I thank you for sharing that, because that's really deep, and it's a beautiful story and experience that you had. And I've heard similar stuff like that, and then that's where I've heard the question posed: is this a spiritual experience? You know, because then that's where religious people I've heard, you know, start coming in and saying those are really demons or angels, you know, or is it, you know, extraterrestrial aliens, or do they come in both forms, physically and spiritually?
Yeah, they come in both forms, and this vastness I wish I had a little more time so I can really flesh this out or have it on paper, but this vastness is often known as like, I can't remember the term very well, the scientific term, but it's something like zero point energy. It's in many scientific studies that have occurred in the last 10, 15 years, especially like by Greg Braden, they talk about how this type of zero point energy expands our heart energy, our soul vibration, our it connects us to everything, the web of life, that web where we're all interconnected, that most of us Native people hear about for a very long time. And as many different types of species there are out in the universe or universes, they all have different types of forms of communication that they use. And some of them are more similar and are close to each other in nature, and some of them are not. Some of them are very unique. And I thank you for saying that you've heard something similar like this before, because I really have never heard anything like what happened to me before, and that second experience, which is a very long story, which I won't get into, that involves Sasquatch.
We're going to have I don't mean to cut you off, but we're going to have another show. You're going to have to come back, and we're going to have to discuss this, because I need to hear these stories, honestly.
Sasquatch.
Yeah,
that's right.
I would love to. I would love to come back. Yeah. I haven't really I haven't shared this publicly or my Sasquatch story like this in the business setting. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Or the details to it.
Well, let's.
Thank you.
We're booking you next Monday. Spooky Lou show next Monday. That's it, man. We got this.
Okay. Let's do it.
You got it.
Yeah,
let's
next Monday. All right. The listeners are listening to this next Monday. That will be March 1st. 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll figure out the title, but definitely we're going to talk about Sasquatch, right? That's awesome.
There you go.
Oh, man. And it'll be an honor to hear it, man. It'll be the first time you're sharing that information? Sasquatch publicly?
Publicly, like this, in this setting. I said the Sasquatch story, I kind of like generalized it.
Right.
For the first time a couple of weeks ago, and it was after I watched a 1-hour documentary on Facebook that spoke wholeheartedly about the Sasquatch people, and so genuinely, and the experiences were very close to what I had, and so they've always been like a private community, and they can't be anymore now. We're in a time in our lives on this planet where we just have to come into truth with everything that we do and experience.
You know, I like the term you use, star beings. Star beings, right?
Yeah, star beings were the very first. When I started my Blue Road path, that's what I learned and that's what I was taught.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Man, we got to get into this next week a little more, right? I really appreciate you coming in here and sharing this. Wow, this is deep. It takes some vulnerability to do that, but wow.
Well, I'm really grateful that you did share that. I've never even heard of this Blue Road, and I'd be interested to learn more if you don't mind sharing.
I don't mind sharing about that.
Yeah, please. I've never heard of that. And, you know, it's educating us. It's educating our listeners.
Definitely.
You know, and it's sharing stories that are amazing.
So we got a little time. We got a little time. You want to share about the Blue Road, you said? What do you said? Blue?
So, yeah, the Blue Path. And the Blue
Path,
yeah, the Blue Road.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Blue Road, and it's mostly a term that Northern Natives from the Midwest have used, and that I know of. I believe it probably originates from the Lakota, And the Blue Road is the spirit road. It's the road in between the physical and the spiritual world. I myself actually, I think it was before I went out there, or afterwards. I had I was well into maybe like 10 years already, and this was like 10 years maybe. Well, actually, this was like maybe 3 years after I met you, Luis.
Oh wow,
Sankori.
Yeah,
and I had this dream that I was walking the Blue Road, and it was very short, but this was spiritual, like, and Spooky Lou, you were asking about the difference between, you know, the spiritual and abduction realities, but, you know, I know myself from my own experience, and everyone has to know that for themselves. When you're having a spiritual dream, I feel and I believe that you're being pulled into that world by your medicine guides and warrior spirits, or your you know, guardian angels, right? And these beings tend to be either ultra-dimensional or ultra-extraterrestrial, meaning that they, you know, they really can alternate between all different realities and probably timelines, and they exist in something outside of all that. And then when you're having the communications with star beings, they don't exist in all those worlds. They're in a body like us, or they have some type of body that, you know, that it just allows for communication between one person or one species to another species. Where ultra extraterrestrial is so higher dimensional that they're way more advanced than all the other species. So this Blue Road that I was on was definitely, you know, something that my medicine guides and probably even my relatives from my former lives as a Lakota that made it possible.
That's it. Wow.
During that time, I was actually like learning a lot about the Lakotas and was blessed by a Lakota medicine woman.
Wow, that is like
that must have definitely been an honor.
It's like past, present, future meet. Past, present, future, and this Blue Road. Interesting. Wow, that's deep.
I never thought about it that way, about that timeline and being on that road. That's interesting.
No, it just came to my mind listening to you. Like, wow, it's like, well, past, present, future, generations, bam, all at once, turns blue. That's what I see it.
Well, you know, if you look at the Vedas and the East Indian people, they believe in the blue. And you were talking about Krishna, somebody was talking about Krishna being from Lemuria, the previous caller. You know, they believe in a blue world also, like this. There's a blue in meditations. It's called the blue light meditation, and it's the orb that you meditate on. And I don't know really too much about it, but I have to say that you know, in my earlier life, my younger life, you know, when I started all my spiritual work, I did meditate on that blue light a couple of times, and I had learned a little bit about it.
Yo, Lou, you heard what he just said? The blue light. We saw that blue light.
I did. Yeah.
We saw that blue light in Wood Hill Park.
So share a little of that story, and then I'm going to share. Go ahead, share that story, Lou.
Brother, you know, I was with Lupa D, and it was two other people. Serge was there, too. We were doing a full moon ceremony up at the hill, and went way up on the hill, Shiraka Park, and I didn't see it. I didn't see it coming down from the sky. Lou saw it. it was a blue beam, a blue light. The way people were reacting, I thought there was an axe murderer right behind me. So when I turned around really quick, there was like this blue light, right? It was hovering in front of us, like it was watching us. But it was more like, it wasn't like an orb. It was more like, I don't know, like this circle. And then it just didn't look like an orb. And then it just took off to our left. And then it had like a tail. When it took off, it's like, you know, like a tail, like a zigzag kind of thing.
Right, like,
you know?
Like a streak.
Yeah, that's it. And it went to the trees. It went so fast, but the color was so beautifully blue. It was like, wow, you know. And it wasn't like someone had like a, because I was trying to look to see if someone had like a laser pointer, but this thing was like 3D. This beam was like 3D. So get
no,
a little.
There's no way. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, but there's no way a laser pointer could just project
that, right?
what we saw. But it's interesting because you bring this up, because this last week, now this happened years ago, like what, a good 6 years ago, 7 years ago maybe?
Yeah.
Right?
Seven.
So it's just interesting that you bring this up, because
the blue light.
Just last Tuesday, last week, I was in front of my house, right? I live in Vegas now, originally from New York. And I'm just standing out there in the middle of the night just getting some fresh air, and I look up, and I couldn't believe what I saw. I saw the most amazing blue light just come down. And look, it reminded me of an angel. And I was like, oh, my God. I mean, it was quick, and it disappeared, but it came down in front of me. It wasn't near me. It was, like, maybe across the street, let's say. And could it be a shooting star? I don't know. But it came down on top of the house. And I was just blown away by this blue streak of light that looked amazing. And it reminded me of the time that I was with Lou those years ago. And I told Lou the other day, I was like, Lou, I can't believe I pretty much saw the same exact thing. Because I've never seen anything like that before in my life. And I've seen a million shooting stars. But it's just amazing. And then here, Lou, 2 days later, after I'm telling Lou that I see this, you're speaking about the blue road and the blue light. It's just pretty deep. Some sort of correlation, probably.
Yeah, and I wouldn't doubt that if it was the same light that from, you know, the park visiting you again and just helping to bring out these experiences for you.
Wow.
And to talk about them.
That's what came to my mind literally during this conversation as we're having now, is exactly what I started thinking. That must have been a sign that maybe a reminder to get back into what I used, right? To get back into the game, to get back into this and start all over. Because it's been a long time. It's been a long time for me.
Well,
I don't know how much time. Go ahead.
Meditation practices.
Yeah.
Having that spiritual grounding really matters in order to connect with them and to keep conscious of them and the rest of the universe.
That's it. Wow. We got a little more time. You know, many years ago, I was driving. I had my two kids. They were younger. This is like maybe 8 years ago. I was driving late at night. It was like 2 a.m. from Poughkeepsie, New York. And you know that highway to Teutonic, is it? It's like super dark. It's super dark. All you see is trees. And I was being careful with the deer, you know, I didn't want to hit a deer. So I wasn't driving so fast, but because I wasn't driving so fast, I was falling asleep on the wheel. And I didn't want to stop I didn't want to stop because of it was just darkness, you know. So then I just kept driving. I kept falling asleep. And I remember praying to God, like, please don't let me pass out because I got the kids here and I don't want to stop, please. And I was still like a long way off. All of a sudden, I see this flying saucer going from my right side to my left side, and it had lights all over it. And it wasn't going slow, and it wasn't going super fast. It was enough for me to see it. And I'm telling you, that saucer saved my life. because I was passing out. And after I saw this, I was up trying to figure out what did I just see, man. You know? And then I remember waking up the kids like, yo, guess what I just saw? Guys, get up so we can see another one. And there wasn't another one, but it saved my life. Whoever those star beings were, they saved my life, man, because it was beautiful lights. There was no way that was human. That wasn't a human Air Force thing. That thing was too beautiful. It was like hovering.
That
area hovering.
Is well known.
It's well known? Is it? I didn't know that. Is it well known? The
mm-hmm.
I didn't
it's
know
part
either.
Of the Hudson area.
That's right, the Hudson, right?
It's part of the Hudson Valley River area, yeah.
Wow. Well, check it out. We ran out of time, man. It's over. Mm-hmm. You got any comments, Lou? Uh-huh.
Yeah, very quickly, I want to just thank everyone for sharing their stories and for calling in. We really do appreciate that. Also, want to remind everyone, you can always contact me or follow my page on Facebook at Spooky Lou Paranormal. If you have any interesting stories, anything you want to share, please share them there. Don't be afraid to post them and contact us. That's all I want to say. But thank you again for everyone tuning in.
Man, thank you, Henry, for coming in here and being with us and sharing your story. Next week, you heard it here first, Sasquatch and some other nice, beautiful stories.
Oh, you know
stories.
What? And next week, uh-huh. we're gonna make next week's show about Sasquatch, and we're gonna have. And I apologize your name again. Have the gentleman
Koyaku.
And, all right. And yeah, I'm going to practice on pronouncing that. We're going to make sure that we'll share some Sasquatch stories.
Cool. And we'd like to thank Stephanie Scott.
My tribal community just said cool.
Cool? Okay, I got you. Cool. Thank you.
Cool. And Stephanie, thank you for coming. Stephanie Skies, who came from the celestial skies. All right, man. So I'm going to end the show. And thank you, everyone, for being here tonight.
What's that? What? I know I heard something. Rebecca, look at me. I know you are. What is that? What's my job?
Oh.
I heard you. Now I need you to run. There's nowhere to go.
Oh, okay.
Help me, help me. I need some help. Help me. Oh my God, I heard that. What are you doing?
Don't do that.
I'm so scared. Help me.